What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Outside the Impossible. And I am so excited today to have Jenny B. join me. Jenny B. is a Worldwide Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator and X-Men Facilitator, inviting you to a world of possibility where no limitation is greater than you. Jenny is an eternal searcher for the truth of a different way of being. Brought up in a family where judgment and power overruled, she was never allowed a voice. In her 20s and 40s, she practiced as a psychotherapist. 7 years ago, at the end of one road, she found the access tools. These tools and using them opened up a space that nothing else Jenny had practiced had come close to. I totally can relate to that. A totally different way to be with that herself. She herself and she rejected and judged as wrong. With tenacity and consciousness, her unique capacities blossomed to acknowledge much about herself and the world around her that was she remembered perceive. I would like to invite you to a world of joy and excitement to be alive, something that you may have always dreamt was possible but never knew could truly exist, said by Jenny B. herself. And Jenny, to me, has always been just, you've had this enthusiasm, excitement for life, and I just love that about you. I love that you walk into a room just bubbly and happy and joyous, and you bring light wherever you come. So thank you for being here on this show. We're so excited to have you.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much. Oh no, really, it's like the whole journey of like becoming alive and choosing to live my life and not kill myself anymore has been a great joy to blossom into, exactly as you said. So thank you.
Well, that, I mean, you just touched on something that may actually play into this very first question. I love to ask this question because I named this radio show Outside the Impossible because I really believe that anything is possible, even the things that we've deemed impossible. And I would love if you have a story you could share where you changed something that you thought would be totally impossible to change, and you changed it anyway.
Just one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's hundreds, but we could start with one.
Yeah, totally. It's a joy to me to really be able to talk about this. As you introduced, well, one, I'm Scottish, so I do have a different accent. So if you find it difficult to listen to me, what you can do is expand out your hearing, so you're hearing with every molecule of your body and listening to the energy that I speak that is not always heard in words. And that is part of the joy of play that I be in my life, that I shut down and try to push away for so long, that really began to kill me and give me a lot of pain. So the journey of pain and not really being present in my body was where I thought if I shut away the pain and pushed it away and didn't meet it, then I would be able to run away from it or get away from it. So as a young child, that's what I did. I was very fast. I made sure I outran everything. If something came up that was difficult to be with, then I would swiftly move on and surf in another direction to find a different way or run in another direction. So I did a lot of running and not really being with everything in my life. And by the time I hit 21, there was something majorly wrong with my body, or I thought. And that was nearly 22 years of tests and diagnosis until I was labelled with multiple sclerosis, which is a disease that eats away at the coating of the nerve endings of the body and stops the body from moving in a way that's fluid as it becomes very what we call juttery, I don't know what you call that in your language, spasmodic would be maybe a different way, like that. Yeah. And with that, there was the pain is unbelievable, and the fatigue was unbelievable. So dealing with all of that was something that I lived with. And although I'd studied as a psychotherapist and trained and taught people different things in hospitals, and I did training programs for 6 weeks with people on suicide or with people with long-term disabilities or OCD, a lot of the work that I'd learned, when I tried to use it for myself, I would get so far and then I would start replaying the whole pain cycle again. So there was something I was doing that was keeping everything going round in a circle that I would never be able to get out of. And so by that point, I was in a wheelchair. I had a carer looking after me. I was 36 years old. My marriage was not very good at that point. And it was like I was a young person who had become very ill, 36. And by the time I was 46, I was at my end of my life. I'd really had enough. I felt I was an old person. I was in my 90s. That's how I felt. I couldn't move. I couldn't lift a toothbrush to brush my teeth. I had to get someone to brush the teeth for me. I couldn't get in and out of the shower. It was a diabolical way to live. And there was nothing in the world that was saving me. So I hit a space where I said, look, I can't do this anymore. Please help me. And it was the doctors that said, we'll take you into hospital and we'll do tests for you. So by the time I got the medical profession to actually get me an appointment, it took 6 months. And in that 6 months, I managed to get something called BARS. And BARS helped me. And within 3 days, I'm like, that, okay, I need more of this. So I kept having BARS sessions, and I had about 10 BARS sessions in that 6 months. Went into hospital thinking the hospital will save me. And what happened was the opposite occurred, where I felt very isolated and uncared for, and told there was a lot of things in my world with this disease that were not real and true. For the medical profession, there's no way I could have that amount of pain, and the medication I was given should be able to help me with that pain, but it wasn't. And they said there's no way that could occur. So I have this sort of thing where there's so much pain in my world and the medication didn't work unless I totally knocked myself out with medication. And even then I would waken up and still be in pain. So medication didn't work. I tried every alternative therapy. BARS took the edge off it. And in that hospital appointment, I came out of it. The medical profession had put me back on the drugs that were making me so ill that I couldn't get up in the morning without being sick. And I said, like, okay, I've had enough. I need to choose something else. So I decided to contact the BARS lady and say to her, look, I'm not sure if I can actually sit and run someone's BARS, but can I pay to come to this BARS class and get BARS twice and maybe see if I can come for the full day? If I can't, can I come in the morning and then do another half day another time? And she says, look, let's do it. So at that point, I was on walking sticks, and I went into the class on walking sticks with two of them, and I managed to have the whole day in the class. I loved it. I had BARS run and learned how to run BARS. And that began something in my world where to look for a different way with the pain and the anguish that was going in my world. And 2 weeks later, I did a class called Foundation, which is a four-day access consciousness class that begins the unraveling of the foundation of your life. So it allows you to see how you have built your life up and then ask different questions and have different body processes and have BARS and examine what does work and what doesn't work for you and begin to build your life in a different way. Now, I'd already known that I had this sort of, flow where I would keep repeating a pattern and get stuck in it. And the fact that bars unravels some of that, and then the processes from the body class helps as well, and the foundation class. Something really changed when I went to that class, and I began to really acknowledge that I could change something. So I chose the class, and I did 4 days in that class, and then went straight into a 3-day body class afterwards. So I had 7 days of access classes, and that was my first 7-day really foundation and then body class for 3 days. And what that did was change my world, and I was able to walk in a way that allowed me to function differently in the world. And this I chose to do in a different country. So I actually flew unaided to a different country to go to these two classes back to back, and unaided for the first time in nearly 9 years, alone. So my friends and family were very worried about me, but didn't choose to come with me and do the class, and I was still going to go, so I chose it. There's something about tenacity. When you know that something will create more than your life, no one's going to stop you until you choose it and keep choosing it until you get what you desire out of that. And I think every single one of us chooses something in our lives that we know will create more. So the miracle for me was, one, choosing a life that I desired regardless of what anyone else said. Two, choosing the tools that worked for me and implementing them in my life. And three, it doesn't stop there. You don't just do one class and that's it. For me, it's an ongoing evolution of change and possibilities to show up. And that allows me to continually choose every single day to work with pain and tremors or whatever is coming up in my world, so I can function in a different way. So how many impossibilities have you possibilities before breakfast?
Right, all before breakfast. And you know what's beautiful, Jenny, is that I've been in a few classes with you, and I wouldn't have even known that this was your history. So that's just such a beautiful testament to how much you've changed. Like, it, you know, it really, it's not even, like, unless you tell this story, it's maybe not available for everybody to know and to see, which is really amazing. So thank you for sharing that.
That's one of the joys of access. So because it takes away, like, all the programming that you program to deal with something. Because even if you've got toothache, like, you deal with it by holding your jaw in a certain way, or you hold your mouth in a certain way. But if that is there for years upon years upon years, then you end up functioning with that as your normality. And that's what occurred for me. For a long time, a lot of the pain that was in my body had been a way of trying to work with symptoms and create more disability instead of actually going to the point of creation and unraveling that. So there's a beauty with access for me than any other modality that I've trained in, where it actually gets to the point of creation, of where we begin to create something, or where we begin to destroy as the being, being alive in the world, and create a disability or an unablement is a different way of saying it.
That's amazing. And do you know where you created this? Did you have an awareness around, like?
Whole load of things that come up with that. There's one question Gary Douglas said recently, I wonder if I can remember it, how we call it. He said something like, you know, where was it you were, what did you create as the way to get noticed in your family? Now, my mum was very ill when she was younger, and before the age of two, I was very ill and in the hospital and out of hospital with pains and diagnoses when I was very younger. So I created illness as a way, whether I used that consciously to get attention or whether I used that to as a path for me to get where I am now, it doesn't really matter for me, because it's right. Like, whatever that whole path is, it's like the prescription I got to create where I am now. If I didn't have that, would I be here? No. I wouldn't. But I love my life, and I love what I'm creating in my life, and I love the joy of my life. And yes, with everybody, there's hard times and there's difficult times and there's, you know, pains in my body that I deal with. But all of that is a way of embracing life instead of fighting it. And that's something else as well, is like, how much do we fight pain and how much do we actually either cut off from it and try and make it go away, as I did when I was younger, or actually fight it, like, let's get through this, you know, head on, let's batter through this. And both of those ways can work short term, but long term, it's a derogatory way. It's a real disablement to be like that. It killed me, and I don't know anyone that can still fight through something after so many years with pain. And pain is one of those things, and unless you're able to be with it in a certain way, then it can eat away at you, which is what MS is. It's where the body actually eats away its own self, which I find very interesting. So how much was I trying to shrivel myself away to, like, hide myself from the world or not be me is one thing, and like, what else was going on? I've got 1,000,000,000 different answers for that one.
For sure. Yeah, I just didn't know if you had an awareness of when you started to look at it. But we're actually going to need to take a break here in just a second, but that's okay. I'll give you the question, then we'll hit it when you get back. What was kind of like the tool that you used like that helped you start changing that? The bars, and we'll talk more about it after the break. If you guys have any questions for Jenny, call 202-570-7057.
Yes, please. I would love that.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Jenny B, and we're talking about From Pain to Possibilities. Right before the break, Jenny, you were talking about your story, which is just truly amazing, and I'm super grateful for your vulnerability and willingness to share that with us today. I know you talked about, like, how the bars change things and foundation change things, There are so many tools in Access Consciousness. I'm wondering if there were a couple of key tools that have helped you, like maybe when pain was at its worst or at its most intense.
Totally. There's a lot of tools. The first thing is question, because whenever you make something significant and you make it that much, that real in your world, when you make pain bigger than you, then all that can be is you have to fight it or go around it or be diminished by it. So one is making yourself acknowledge there's a question you can ask here to allow yourself to be bigger than the pain. So what space can you be to be ease with this pain, and all the points of view you have about the pain being more to destroy and uncreate them. And then when the pain is there, it's like, what way can I use this pain? And Gary Douglas has spoken recently about using the pain to your advantage, like, you know, pushing the pain into the space of change for other things. So that can really work as well. One of the key things I found was, like, I used to talk about my pain a lot, like, oh, you know, my foot's really sore or this leg isn't working, believing if I spoke about it to someone else, they would actually understand and get to understand what I was going through and actually help me in some way. And like, we all do this, like if you've got a headache, you say, oh, I can't, my head's really sore, or like, I've got a cold, when you've got a cold, as if someone cannot hear that in your voice, you know? So we seem to share stuff, and that was a real key for me. I decided to stop telling people what was going on, because then what would happen is they would align and agree with that, or resist and react to that acknowledgement, and either say, oh no, you're fine because you did this earlier, or it can't be that bad because, or they'd say, oh, that's a shame, that must be really bad, here, sit over here. And none of that was the answer I was looking for. I wasn't looking for someone to hold my hand through it. I just wanted to find a different way. And until I became aware that it was me that actually creates the change in my life, then asking to share it only gives the power over to them, a bit like a power over to the pain. So acknowledging that I'm the driver in this vehicle of my body, and, you know, body, what can we be together? Because I have to look after you and you have to look after me. So what can we be here together? So really asking for a different awareness with my body as well. I'd shut off my body so much that I was killing it, you know? So that, and then from there, I asked for NTVSS, was a body process of choice, very much in the beginning. It's the one thing that changed my world. In the body class, I could perceive, as soon as it began to get run on me, the difference of that body process. And it's an Access Conscious body process, and there's, I think there's about 30 odd energies in it. But what it did was take out whatever I was begun to hold as my way of functioning in the world. It began to unlock that and allowed me to change something else, choose something else and change it.
Beautiful.
So those were some of them, yeah.
Yeah, we know there are tons of tools. I just like to know if there's any key ones is always just fun. So today's topic we called From Pain to Possibilities, the Alchemy of Presence. Could you share with our listeners a little bit more about, like, what do you mean by alchemy of presence?
Yeah.
And so, how do those go together? Yeah.
True. Yeah. So how can I say this in a way that is, basically for me, it's like when you are with pain, like, it's about acknowledging the pain and actually inviting it into your world and being with it. When you actually don't make pain your dog, don't make pain your top dog, and like, and you don't have power over it, you can meet it face to face in a space. And from there, it's actually working with what way you can melt that or unlock the solidity of it into something else. So there's an alchemy that comes across when I actually engage with what's going on with me and my body in a way that can melt the pain or make the pain more space, so it changes the frequency, and then it's more bearable, or it's a different way to be with it. And part of that is like it's like a translation of working with the energies that is so different. That I don't know if I can give it all in like this 10 seconds of call, but it's there's an energetic presence with being with you in your pain that I can actually show you that you can duplicate and then work with it in your own way. So question is part of it, then being with the energetics of what's going on in your body and actually having no point of view of what it is and allowing it to, like, you know, Alice's adventure into Wonderland. It's about that adventure down the rabbit hole. Okay, if I don't judge this pain is wrong, then what can open up here? What way can I come out into a different Wonderland with me and my body in a different space? And that's exactly what occurred for me in my world. It was like a Narnia opened up where there was magic around me that I'd shut myself off from that began to re-emerge in my world around me. And that can sound kind of weird for some people, I know, but it's like, how else to... There's a childlike glee in my world that's never gone, and everything I thought was real and true about the world when I was younger, to me, is real and true now as an older person, but I lost it for so long in the middle years of my life. And you know, I'm in my 50s now, and I would say from 8 to 50-year-old there was a deep void of lack in my life about being present in the world because I couldn't be present with me. So merging with the pain and creating what I call alchemy, or like that elixir of life, comes to aliveness in my world while being with the pain, because it's not ever something that stops you. Pain is like a missed awareness and a possibility to be present with something you've never yet been with.
And I can get that. And I also know, like, when we're in like some really acute pain, what are just some basic ways that you can get out of that, or to change your point of view so it's not, because it can be so overbearing. I mean, I think yep. We've all experienced pain to some degree, and we're not necessarily just talking about physical pain either, folks. So this can be emotional, this can be mental, spirit, you know, anything. So but when you're in that,
well, part of it is as soon as you've got a point of view about how it is and that you have to get out of it, is what you said, then you're already in something, and therefore you have to get out of it. There's a linearity there. There's a cause and effect.
Sure.
So part of that is acknowledging that if you make pain a cause, then, or the effect of something, then you have to find a cause. But what if there isn't? It's that journey with Wonderland. It's like, okay, so this has shown up just now. What way can I be with this? What if it's like something I've never been with before? Just because it's a pain in your, you know, toe, your knee, your hips, your elbows that you've always had, what if you ventured with it differently? And every single time there's a different journey with that pain, because my body is showing me something that I've always judged as wrong. If I come out of the wrongness of it, then something else opens up. So having no point of view with the pain and acknowledging, like, okay, so what is the question here that I can ask my body so it can show me something different? So if you have an example of a pain, maybe... okay, so if you stub your toe on the door frame or the door or whatever, okay, what is the first thing you do? You hop around and hold that in your hand, do you not?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Curse words, you know.
Curse words, yeah. But you have a presence with it. There's some point you stop and there's a churning in your stomach. There's all of this going on. There's this throbbing in your toe. There's some space you'd be with it until it begins to change. So it goes from that throbbing into like a heat or a sensation that's something different. And then, you know, if you do a lot of access, you might run the body process point of creation turn, that one, cellular memory point of creation.
Cellular memory, yep.
Yep. So you would run that one, or you would be present with it in a different way to allow it to change. And then there's an energetic process there that comes. So that's if you have an accident. It's exactly the same if you waking up every single morning with a pain. It's first off, who does this belong to? What is it my body's telling me I'm not acknowledging? I didn't talk about who does it belong to, did I? That's one of my key tools.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we were going to go there. I was like, how about this tool? Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to say more about that? Go ahead.
Well, totally. Because every single thing in your world, you know, asking the question, who does this belong to? You're not looking for the answer that it's Mr. Smith down the road that lives at number blah, blah, blah. You're asking, who does it belong to, as in, is this actually mine? Is this actually in my world, or am I aware of it? And Dane here says a classic example of this. He said, just because you perceive, as in you're aware of, carrot soup, doesn't mean to say that you are carrot soup. Meaning you live in the society and this is what you're aware of, doesn't mean to say that you're just aware of that society, doesn't mean to say you are everything that's going on in that society. And then he added recently, this year, or indeed a carrot, which I thought was fantastic, because it's actually about saying there's so much in this world that we're aware of around us that we think is us. And that was one of the key factors with all of this as well. A lot of the pain that I had, I was aware of different people that had similar pains. I was in a care group that with other people that had similar symptoms. And as soon as I began to get clear on what was mine and what was theirs, made a big difference. So every single morning, if I waken up with anything in my world, I return to senders with consciousness. It's what the tool is. Everything that is that doesn't belong to me, return to senders with consciousness. And with that, it's an energy that you be when you ask that question for 3 days in a row, for every thought, every feeling, every emotion and every sensation in your body, then you begin to disrupt the programming where you believe that everything, because it happens in your world, means it belongs to you. And this goes back to child psychology, actually, where if you take, you know, a child's toy away from them, they will cry because it's like taking part of them away. They believe that toy is part of them. There's no real separation with children. And we grow up with this in our worlds, without actually acknowledging we're very psychic and very much aware of the world around us. I mean, a prime example is like, do you walk into a room and know there's been an argument between the two people sitting there? One that is still the fumes and the flames in the air, yes, and they're sitting cross-armed, scowling at each other. But, like, how much of that are you aware of anyway, energetically? And know when there's been something weird going on with an argument before. So it's very similar to that. When you're aware of any emotions and you grow up with certain emotions in your world, it can be that you're highly aware of them. My parents were quite angry people. And what would come out was, like, if someone was angry, I could be aware of that energy at, like, you know, 50 paces of, oh my goodness, their anger, let's do a left turn here and go over here away from them. Very highly aware of that energy in anyone's world. So what energies are you aware of that you buy is really true as you, that are not you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the pain thing as well. It's really acknowledging, like, you know, is this actually mine, or is this other information that my body's giving me, and it's actually just pained because I'm not listening to it?
I loved it. I think it was Dane said it recently. It might have been Gary said, pain is a superpower that you're not acknowledging. And
totally
I was like,
and utterly, yeah. And it is. It totally and utterly is. It was another one he said as well, which was great. Pain is a power you're not willing to experience.
Mm.
And it's like the power of using pain to your advantage. And, you know, part of the tools that I've been using recently are going, like, I've been in access for what, how many years now? 6 years. And Gary's been through so much recently with pain, and the way he's verbalized it is stuff that I've already known but didn't know quite how to put it into the words of the brilliance of Gary Douglas. And the way he's been wondering how he's working with the pain of shingles and everything, and it's very similar to nerve pain, an entirely different ballgame, I know, but like working with that and the way he has and the body processes that he's sort of giving birth to out of all of this information, it's been sheer brilliance. So like, what are we changing in the world of pain? What if pain needn't be the diminishment that we choose it to be? What if we can have not have power over pain, but actually use it as an advantage, as a superpower to change the world around us? And not by having a point of view of how that should be, but allowing yourself to alchemize that pain into possibility. And how does that show up for you? Because everyone will be different, and every single pain is different every single time.
Well, it is in a way just changing your point of view about it. Like, not having a point of view, but then also like, okay, how can I use this to my advantage? What is right about this? Instead of something's wrong, there's a problem, I have to fix it.
Yeah.
And, you know, going down the rabbit hole of like, you know, the pain is wrong. And yeah, I'm not saying pain is comfortable by any means, but at the same time, what if it was working out to our advantage and we just haven't been able to look at it that way because we're so fixated on the sensation in that moment?
Yeah, we're not taught to be different with pain. We're taught to go to the doctors. And this is where, like, hospitals are great. They're brilliant and doctors are fantastic as well. I'm not saying anything against them. But there's literally like a pain. They ask you on a pain scale, how much is that painful between 1 and 10? And I'm like that, 10. And they're like that, you can't be at 10, you'll be dead. And I'm like that, okay, 9.5 then. You can't be 9.5. Okay, 9 then. Well, if it's 9, then you've been a lot more pain. I'm like, it's intense. And that was the difference that I found. So this was my diagnosis of like how much pain I was in and how to actually converse with that, because nobody talks how intense can you tell something painful is. And like, what ongoing pain does is like, the more that you have that pain, you actually shut off your responders to it and actually separate from that pain, so you don't feel it in the same way, or you don't engage with it in the same way. So throughout your life there's this separation as well, and that's when you can pull in like entities and stuff to run your body, because therefore that you're separate from it. I can't do that. It's just so hard for me to even be present in my body. So here we go. We'll pull in some entities for that that can run that. So all of that can occur as well. There can be a lot more information going on. And the more that you actually use the tools and actually have a question and be present with whatever you think that pain is, what shows up is not just one thing. Because pain, we diagnose pain as like one thing. There's actually many, many energies within there that the more present you become with them, you can actually work with them in different ways. So that's the alchemy of being present with it, where you can actually allow it to, instead of it being like a hard rock like the moon, suddenly you're actually opening that up and actually having all the different pieces of that, and it's like a universe of different possibilities with different planets in it that you can actually move through and actually change. So there's a flow and a engagement in a different way.
Awesome. We will definitely talk more about that after the break. We'll be right back.
Best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy. on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
She is. I'm not on.
Thank you. Hello. Welcome back. We're here with Jenny B. talking about From Pain to Possibilities, the Alchemy of Presence. If any of you are out there and have any questions for Jenny, please feel free to dial in the next few minutes to 202-570-7057. Jenny, right before the break, you started to talk about a different way of being with pain. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. I wasn't sure because I did dial.
That was me. Off. Yeah.
Okay. So Gary Douglas actually said, I looked for the quote that he said. So he said, pain is a level of intensity you experience, so you don't choose or haven't experienced anything greater in your life. So pain is a level of intensity you experience, so you don't have to choose anything greater in your life. And I used that all my life for a long time because I didn't know I could go beyond that pain into a different space. So for me, I used it to limit me and keep me small. And this is where that wonderland that I spoke about, or that universe where there's a lot more there if you actually keep moving with that pain and allow it to change, meeting it and journeying with it, then something else can open up. And that is different for every single person. And every single pain that I have or continue to have, again, I do that journey with it. Now, it's not been an easy journey, and it, as in with, especially with multiple sclerosis, every single day there's pain there, but I'll journey with it until I get somewhere different with it. Having no point of view of where we're going, if the pain will change or not. But the more I use that, it's like a muscle I've built around engaging with pain in a different way, engaging with my body in a different way. And if things do come up for me where I have a real limitation and I still need some help, then I sometimes go to the doctor. And the first thing they say to me is, well, that'll be your MS. Every single time I go, that's because of your MS, or that's because of that. So their answer to me is always that equals that. Whereas I'm looking for something beyond. And if I do get stuck, and I have done, and I go back to the doctor and ask a question, there are only drugs that they'll give me. And drugs don't work very well with my body. I don't have a very good response. I have a lot of reactions with them. So I ask my body, what works here? What can I choose to be? And with that, other things can open up. And what has opened up is Essie is wonderful for me. Certain practitioners that are open to engaging in my body without, a cranial sacral therapist or a chiropractor will work in a certain way. Mm-hmm. I've got one of those who actually combines her modalities with other things and allows my body to just be what it requires to be in her hold, and she'll work in my body that way. Essay is wonderful, Susie Godsey. Glenna Rice's EMT is great as well. Anything that can engage in the body without judgment that isn't a prescribed way of working with it, that can unlock some of the resistance or solidity that you may have created in your body to work with the pain, can help as well. The other thing I run as well is that it's a clearing from actually talk to the entities. Shannon O'Hara was brilliant in the first couple of years of me doing Access, and I found a lot of her work very helpful for me because I'd pulled in a lot of different energies to compensate for me not being in my body. So that helps. But one of the clearings that she gives for entities is to dissipate all the drugs and alcohol out your system and universe to help druggy entities. And I used that on myself because my body felt very toxic. And the more that I worked with that, the more aware I became of where I would pull in certain energies and clear stuff. And the more my healing abilities began to show up and the more I could begin to use them in a different way, then I stopped being as pained. And the superpower thing is very real for me. There's a lot of different ways I engage in the world differently. I use energy differently than not other people, but in a way that works for me, that allows my body to be freer, which stops the pain as well. So they say in the spiritual community that a lot of pain turned inwards is an ability you've never used. It's the same in Access. It's like, what magical ability or what capacities do you have to wield your energy through the world that would create greater? And one of the tools is just like in the foundation manual, it's throwing threes to the earth and just going 1, 2, 3 and throwing energy to the earth. And it says like do 5 or 10 of those. I sat with Dean here once and we did it for nearly 7 minutes and we just sat and threw to the earth. And it was an amazing gift. And what contributed to me and my body was like the more I contributed to the earth, the more alive my body became. So asking for things in different ways and knowing if something really works for you, then keep doing it until it doesn't and then choose something else. So that flow and evolution of all possibilities and choice keeps things moving in my world.
Wonderful. And Jenny, you just touched on it a little bit, but I'd love for you to share, how would you say that your relationship to your body has changed? Other than being embodied, I guess, or actually maybe that's number one.
Yeah, totally, being embodied. The first class I ever went to, which was a 2-3 with Dean here, which is now called a COP, that was it. That was he wrote a process and it was about being embodied, the joy of embodiment. And he said that I was holding on to that and I had to let it go because I was hiding it. And the more that I began to really enjoy being with my body, it unraveled. But yes, totally and utterly, joy of being alive every single day, choosing what really nurtures you and your body, be it the food you eat or something else, the walk in the woods, being present, having kind people around me, and being really present with the ones who are not kind and telling them so, that doesn't contribute to me and my body or my life and living, and I'm happy to let you go now, thank you, bye bye. Being that, not ruthless, but actually noticing what does contribute to me in my life, and not putting up with a lot of distress that was thrown at me for me to fix for family or friends that I thought I was responsible for, was a big lesson for me that allowed me to let go of a lot of where I was holding on to my life and making me smaller. And the more that I've grown as a being, the more I've been embodied with that. But anything to, for me, the main thing was allowing energy to flow through my body. And when I first started the body processes, I couldn't believe that the fizzing in my body was okay. I thought that was wrong, because everyone else that I perceived around me had like dead bodies that weren't alive in their bodies. Does that make sense? So it's like I'd never known engagement with a being in a body together around me. I'd never perceived that in the world of my family. And so I thought it was normal to have no energy in your body at all. And if I had energy, it was wrong from very early on. And that was the one key for me, was to allow like the fizziness or the molecules in my body to move, is what Access calls it, or the vortexing, where you get like cold and shivers inside your body. That was normal. I thought that was wrong all my life. And Gary Douglas will say that vortexing is where you become oneness with everything, and it's a real gift to really receive that and allow yourself to be with that within your body. So all of those points of view were ways that I shut myself down in my interaction with my body, and allowing that back in was really exciting, actually, and allowing myself to engage in my, with my body in a different way was amazing. And slowly, I've worked with a lot of people, and I love symphony and as well, so I work energetically with a lot of people. And recently, actually, at an X-Men class, I had some sessions with other people that were not choosing the class, but choosing to come to me for sessions. And I was amazed at the space that their bodies could be with just a little bit of access, and the change that they were willing to receive from that session, which was great.
That is great. That is actually a great segue. I might have another question for you, but I don't want to run out of time. So I'd love for you to let us know, Jenny, how can people find you? Do you obviously you offer classes and one-on-one sessions. Where can people find out more? Yeah.
Yep. I've got telecalls, classes around the world, one-on-one sessions, both live and on Zoom. You can find out information on www.jennybe.com, so jennybe.com, and the way you spell my name will be in your on your site as well. And under all the information there, you can go to contact me, or the sessions and the classes. I do have a telecall coming up with this name. It's a one-part telecall where we'll explore more and really be present with some of the tools that we've used today and others. It's called From Pain to Possibilities, the Alchemy of Presence. That is on the 14th of November, and that's on there as well. It's also on the Access Consciousness site. You'll find me there under Jenny B, under Facilitators.
Wonderful. And I believe that if you go to jennyb.com/pain, it takes you directly to this Pain to Possibilities one-off Zoom she's doing on November 14th. So, great. So thank you, Jenny. Thank you so much for everything. And if you could have everybody just get one or two key things about pain that they might be experiencing right now in their lives or their bodies, what would that be?
Are you willing to receive beyond the words that I've given on this call? Are you willing to allow the presence of you with your body? And if you had no idea how that would show up, are you willing to receive whatever that may be?
Wonderful. And it's not necessarily, Jenny's been a great invitation to the energetics of this as well. This is not necessarily a cognitive thing, you know. Some of it can be, but some of it is just an invitation to something. There is a different possibility for anyone out there suffering, feeling like they're suffering and in pain.
Thank you so much for saying that, because that is the words that I there's a lot of times I talk, but it's under the words, the energies that are present, that are the ones that are saying the most. And thank you so much for saying that. It just sums it up amazingly. Thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been a pleasure. If anyone's interested, just reach out. to me on my contact form and I can say hi.
Awesome. And what would be maybe one or two words that you could say that is possible beyond pain?
Well, that's what I love about access. It's all about like the choice of being something different in the world. And if we had the choice to create something different in the world, if 5-year-olds ran the world, what play and joy would it be? And how much engagement with the earth and everything around the world would be different? What if we could do different than that? What would be beyond that? So what mutation of the species are we willing to be that will allow play, joy, possibilities and oneness with everything around the world?
Wonderfully put. Thank you so much, Jenny B. Such a pleasure to have you. Thank you, everyone, for listening in.
Thank
see
you.
Hear you next week.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Goodness. Thank you.